Welcome to WOW Presents Courageous Conversations with Lady Shauna Whatley and Dr. Kim Alexander. I'm Lady Shauna, and I'm so excited to have you all with us this morning. This podcast is for women invested in leadership development. Our mission is to grow and develop women in leadership who will impact the world for Christ. And so I'd like to turn it over to my co-host, Dr. Kim, who will tell us a little bit about our wonderful invited guest today, Dr. Ella Bell Smith.
Hello, everyone. I am so excited to share with you today a friend of mine, Dr. Ella Edmondson Bell Smith. She is an associate professor at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth College. She's also an author, a managerial consultant, a nationally recognized researcher, and advocate on women's workplace issues. She is the co-author of Our Separate Ways, Black and White Women and the Struggle for Professional Identity. Her second book is titled Career GPS. And as a nationally respected managerial consultant, Ella has shared her expertise and knowledge on discriminatory barriers in the workplace, strategic leadership, managing inclusion, and work-life balance with corporate leaders across the country. Dr. Ella's scholarly work has been reported in the Wall Street Journal, the Boston Globe, the Los Angeles Times, the Charlotte Business Journal, the Christian Science Monitor, Newsweek, Working Women, Business Women, Black Enterprise, and Essence magazines. She is considered by industry and the academy to be one of the leading experts in organizational change and the management of race, gender, and class in organizational life. In addition, Dr. Ella appeared on CNN's Democracy in America 96 as a nationally recognized expert of race relations in the workplace. I am so excited to be able to share with you this incredible woman, Dr. Ella L.J. Edmondson Bell Smith. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Kim and Lady Shauna. Hot ziggity. I am happy to be here. I'm delighted to be here. What a special time to come together with all the things that are happening around us right now and to take some time to commune and learn and grow and develop and all those kinds of things that are so important in the world that we live in. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Well, good morning, Dr. Ella. We're so excited to have you today. As someone who is a federal lobbyist in corporate America, I am thrilled to hear your wisdom and words of advice and your guidance on leadership and women in the workplace. And, you know, so today we're just going to have a real courageous conversation and just be able to hear the guidance that you can provide for us women who are trying to lead in our different areas of business and in ministry. And so the first question I'd like to ask is, tell us a little bit about how you got into this field and interested in this topic.
Well, it started probably when I got laid off in New York City public school system and took a journey and wound up getting a PhD from Case Western Reserve in organizational behavior. And one of the things that I noticed was that here I was in a business school, and what was interesting to me was that all the research on women, because I always wanted to make a difference for people in our community. W.E.B. Du Bois is one of my superheroes. And I always wanted to see how we could make the Black community better in so many different ways. But in this PhD, what I was very curious about and quite frankly frustrated about was that all the research talked about women, but talked about white women. And it was like there was this monolithic, like Black women didn't exist, women of color didn't exist. And if we did exist, there were so few of us that it really didn't matter. So that got me started. And once I left graduate school, I got together with a woman that I actually grew up with. I knew her family. We grew up in the same neighborhood, Stella Incomo. She also had a PhD in human resources. So we combined forces, were dear, dear friends, and said, okay, let's see what we can do. And we were lucky enough to get a grant by the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation to be able to do the research that led to Our Separate Ways. It was as if, the other thing is, it was as if Black women fell in between the cracks. There was research, but the research basically talked about Black men, but not Black women. So we fell in between the void because of our race and our gender. So if you had any management literature, it mentioned briefly Black men, but then it would talk in detail about white women. So we decided that it was time to, number one, tell the story that Black women were there, had a history of being in corporate America, number one. Number two, what was their journey? How did their journey differ from those, their white female colleagues? And then number three, what was the relationship between the women? How did they support each other? How were they? Were they allies? Did they support each other? And that made up the foundation for the research. And it wasn't easy, because what I was told in business school was that, and when I took my first job, which happened to be at Yale School of Organization and Management, people were pretty clear, you're not going to get tenure, you're not going to get promoted. When I was at MIT, they told me that my research didn't matter, it didn't count, and I needed to find a whole new area that had nothing to do with race. So it wasn't easy to pursue this line of inquiry, but you know, I was very clear with people. God was the reason why I got my PhD, and I was going to do what my heart told me to do. And we continued with the work, and I'm so, so glad we did, because it really sets the foundation for understanding what happens to women of color in the workforce.
Amen. I'm certainly glad you did as well. Dr. Kim, I believe you were going to do a follow-up question.
Sure, sure. One of the questions that I have, given the time that we're in right now, what should we be thinking about regarding careers? I know in Career GPS, you outlined quite a few things about careers, but in this unprecedented time for women of color right now, what should we be thinking about?
What's going to give you the most happiness, and how are you defining success? Because all the rules are up for grabs right now. It is critically important that you are grounded in who you are so that you can make clear decisions right now, that you don't go into the mode that there's nothing there for you. Sometimes we sabotage ourselves and we think we go into a scarcity mode. And yes, there are going to be layoffs, and yes, there are going to be all kinds of transitions. But don't go into scarcity mode, which makes us competitive, which makes us scared. Don't fall into your fear right now, because it's just going to sabotage you. You've got to move with flexibility. You've got to move with courage. And you've got to be clear about what you want to do. What's your vision? Get your vision out there in terms of your career, and make it broader than just career, because no one lives by career alone. What's the vision for what you want to do now? They tell you the next 5 years. We always say, look 5 years ahead. We don't know what 5 years is going to look like right now because of this pandemic. So what do you need to think about in the next 6 months as we go back into work? What do you want to do? How do you want to contribute? What are your boundaries? When do you say, no, I can't do that? When do you make some tough decisions? This is a time of great, great transition. Do not be afraid of the transition. This is a time where things are not going to go back to normal the way we knew them. So get used to being flexible. Put your flexibility outfit on, number one. Be courageous in what you want to do. Use your voice now and understand that the world, not just you, is not just you. The world is in transition now. And figure out what role you want to play and what do you want to do in that transition. And I'm not just talking to senior women. I'm talking about women who are just entering. You have a chance here to reshape the workforce. This is not a time to shy away. How do you want to reshape the workforce? How do you want to reshape the way you live? Time to ask those big questions and time to really think deeply, pray deeply, get your faith strengthened here so that you don't go into scarcity mode, you don't go into fear mode, and that you wind up just self-sabotaging, getting in your own way. Get mm-hmm. out of your way right now.
Yeah,
you hard to do. That's hard.
Yeah. You said in Career GPS that success starts internally. Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean about success starting internally?
Well, I think sometimes we all drink the Kool-Aid as a professor at Tuck. And oh, by the way, I'm a full professor now. But as a professor at Tuck, I see students come in. And these are adults. We don't teach. Our students are 26 to 36. We don't teach the young undergraduates or anything like that group. And I see people come in and they have a pretty clear idea of what they want to do. But then they get seduced. They get seduced by the consulting, by the boutique banks, consulting firms and all that. And they forget what they want to do. I always tell people, be clear. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Just because somebody else is going down that path, that does not mean that's your path. What do you want to do? What's going to give you joy? Doesn't mean you're not going to work your tail feathers off, because yes, you are going to work your tail feathers off. But what's going to give you a sense of achievement, of accomplishment, that you are making a difference? And that comes from inside. That's not coming from somebody telling you what you have to do, or that you should do this, or you're going to make a lot of money. That's the other trap. Oh boy, you're going to make a lot of money. You may not. I'm not saying to follow your heart, and that's where, you know, oh, that's all the wealth and the money and the joy and all. Mm-mm. I'm not sure it works like that either. But the reality of it is, the clearer you are inside about what gives you joy, how do you define success? Don't let somebody else define success for you. You be clear on how you define success. What's important? Stick to your value. Know your values. Your values are important. What do you believe in? What do you trust? What's going to give you a sense of excitement? What's going to allow you to wake up every morning and go into that job when it is really hard and kicking your tail feathers so that you don't walk away from it? What also can you bring your whole self in? I see too often that women leave parts of themselves, you know, your racial identity, your faith identity. Got to bring all yourself to the table. All those roles, all those voices, all those parts of you make you whole and complete and important. That's how you pull your table up to the leadership, your chair up to the leadership table. Excuse me. That's how you pull your chair up to the leadership table. And that's important. You've got to bring all of you. So you've got to know what those parts are.
Thank you, Dr. Ella. As a follow-up to that, just interested in hearing your guidance and advice on, you know, since we're in this period of transition, how do you know when it's time to leave?
You know, one thing we do, particularly Black women, we're very loyal. And we stay in a job, in a position, and sometimes I think we stay too long. What are the signals? If you're getting mediocre feedback year after year after year, it's time to go. If they aren't willing to talk to you about a career plan, which you should have with your HR, with your manager, this is where I want to go. What's our plan? You better have a plan, by the way. But if you don't see progress in your plan and they can't give you a good reason, time to go. Don't think of advancement in your career as just going up the corporate ladder or going up any organizational ladder. Think about what you need in your toolbox, your tool chest, and what you can learn going laterally in a company too. I think sometimes we get caught up with, I want to just advance up. That's good, but you need to have a lot of tools in your toolkit. So what are lateral opportunities? But if they're not willing to give you the visibility, the lateral opportunities, it's time to think about leaving. I think oftentimes we do one or two things. We stay too long when all the signals have said, you know, you're okay, but you're not going to go any further in this company. And so for some women, that's fine. They're absolutely comfortable with that. But if you're achievement oriented, you're not going to be comfortable with that. The other thing is don't stay too long, but don't jump every 6 months. That's the other thing we do. You know, it's like, oh, the grass is greener over here. Guess what? Girl, the grass is no greener. Might look green for a little bit. Once you get your tootsies over there, it's going to turn the same color of the grass that you're already in. The reality of it is before you leave, make sure you leave having done something, something that you can put on that resume, something that you can say, this is what I contributed to. This is what I was a part of. This is what I did to make that happen. This is what my team did. You just can't pick up and leave and keep on going. Oh, I've got a higher title. That doesn't mean anything. You've got to be able to say, this is what I've accomplished. So when you go in, be very clear. This is what I'm going to accomplish here. Then once you've done your accomplishment, if they can't say, this is how you're going to move up, this is where you're going to go, this is the plan we have for you, then always look around. Always have your resume ready too. I always tell people, have your resume in your back pocket. You know, as old as I am, got my resume in my back pocket. Never know what kind of opportunity is going to come. Don't be afraid to go through the door, but make sure when you go through that door that you're bringing some wisdom, good experience, solid performance, and relationships. Don't burn relationships. Relationships are critical.
Yeah, yeah. Talk with us a little bit more about relationships. You talk a lot in one of your books about the relationships in the workplace and how they matter. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, Dr. Kim, I have an equation. It's real simple. P is for performance. As a woman of color, you didn't ask me about performance, but I'm going to say it, tell it anyway. P is for performance. You've got to perform, and yes, you've got to be 3 times better. That has not changed in my lifetime. I doubt seriously right now it's going to change in younger women's lifetime. So yes, you do have to outperform. Yes, yes, yes. But in addition to performing, you've got to have relationships because that equals advancement. P plus R equal A, advancement. Relationships are critical. Too often we go into the workplace, in our companies and our organizations, and we want to prove how good we are. And, you know, Black women, particularly Black women, we're strong. And we're used to, you know, picking up the yoke and pulling it all by ourselves. That's in our DNA. But the reality of it is this. Corporations are collaborative entities. And as a result, we've got to show that we can collaborate. We've got to show that we can be a part of the team, even when we're not invited in. There are times when, you know, the folks are not going to, your colleagues are not going to welcome you. They're not going to say, come have lunch with us. You've got to do the inviting. You've got to say, you know, I'd really like to know more about what you're doing. You've got to show that, you know, you can be supportive, available. I'm a little skeptical about the word ally because that might mean you might be giving up too much of yourself. Mm. But you do have to show that you're a team player. You've got to have relationships. I remember one story when we did a leadership program for women called Ascent. And I had one woman. She was really, really, really brilliant. And she was in accounting. And the CFO, the head of finance, called for a meeting with her. She calls me, what did I do wrong? Oh my God, I can't go, I'm so scared. And I mean, she was the wreck. All this man wanted to do was to get to know her. I said, girl, just go into the meeting. He wants to know who you are. He wants to have a relationship with you. Too often we are very agent, we're just full of agency. you know, well, what's my next move and what do I need to do to get there? And well, that's fine and dandy, but if they don't know who you are, none of that's going to happen. So when people ask you if you're married, if you have find some stories. If you don't have children, talk about cooking and dogs work miracles. Okay. What do you do? Invite people to church. I know sisters out here that, you know, hey, come go to, it's a special church service. Come on and come with me. Let people in. It's important. Nobody's going to give you the baton to move forward if they don't know who you are. So we just can't go in and, you know, kind of bury our heads and say, okay, I'm just going to work and show how great I am by working. That doesn't work. You've got to have the relationships. You've got to be able to collaborate. You've got to be able to have a buddy system. You've got to have a sponsor. You know, you've got to have mentors. All those individuals play important roles. What's the buzz about you at the coffee cooler, at the water cooler? What are people saying about you? Like it or not, that has to be managed. It really does. And what Black women often get is that we're angry. You know, we like I said, we put that yoke on and we get serious, right? We're doing our job. You got to know the smile. I always tell Black women, take off some of that black. I don't know why we think black is the corporate uniform. Put a little pink on. Put some pearls on. Soften it up. You know, if you have a natural, you can wear your hair. Just make sure it's organized. That's all. In shape. And then keep on going. But don't come in and because they project. People don't know who you are. That's the other thing. They really don't know. And by they, I'm saying your white colleagues, particularly many of your senior white colleagues, they've never interacted with an African-American woman. They don't have a clue about what you are, who you are, other than what they have seen on television, which are all stereotypes, right? Mm-hmm. Or they had a fresh air fund. Remember those? Where they would take children from inner city areas and put them out in the country, so, you know, with a home. Or their cleaning lady happened to have, when they were growing up, a child, a little black girl, the daughter. They don't have an idea of who we are in positions of authority, status, and power because they've never interacted with us. Many of them have not interacted with us on that level. So it's very important that you build relationship. Mm-hmm. That's critically important. And don't be afraid to talk about who you are and where you come from. You know, everybody at Tuck knows I'm from the Bronx. My mother had a sixth grade education. My dad had an eighth grade education. The students are like, oh, you know, yeah, that's right. Okay, that's who I am. And I'm proud of that. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of that.
Give us that formula one more time. Performance plus relationships.
P plus R equal A. P plus R equal A.
So Dr. Ella, so how do you feel African-American women are doing since you wrote Our Separate Ways? Have you seen advancement? Are you excited about where we are right now? Or where do you think we need to be?
I don't know. There are days I'm excited and there are days that I just want to cry. We wrote this book. It came out in, 2001, in Our Separate Ways? And I am saddened that many of the stories that were told in that book, that African-American women today, younger African-American women, and I mean young, can resonate with those stories. We were hoping by this time, those stories would be so outdated, the stories of not being included, the stories of lack of respect, the stories of not getting the visibility, not having a sponsor, not having a mentor. The center, CTI, the Center for Talent and Innovation, just did a study, and I was one of the advisors to talk about Blacks in the workplace in corporate America. And the numbers are so low, and not getting the promotions, particularly African American women, just not there, not in the pipeline, not making it through mid management. Which is a problem. Middle management is rough. It's really rough, and we can talk about that a little bit But the reality of it is we have made tremendous breakthroughs. We have Carla Harris. We've got unbelievable women who are doing unbelievable things. Most of the women that we interviewed in Our Separate Ways are now retired. Mm-hmm. And there are new women. I mean, we've got, I think Federal Express has a Black female CEO now. Ursula Burns for years was the only one at Xerox. So we are seeing, but it's few and far in between. And white women are not where they need to be. I mean, that's the other issue. White women are still struggling. As long as they're struggling, we're going to struggle even more. And white women don't often reach back and help each other. They don't help each other. So it's really hard to get them to think about helping a woman of color. But we're working. There are many of us who are working on that. I think of Dylan McGee at Makers. Dylan's doing everything that she can to make a difference in that line. I think about Working Mother Media. So there are groups that have developed. When we started our work, there were no organizations, there were no task force, there was no nothing. But we are now seeing that there are women there, but they're far and few in between. And there's no pipeline. So you see a woman in the senior position, and there's no one behind her to bring up, so to speak. So while we're there in numbers, what I'm also seeing that many of those women are going into entrepreneurial ventures because they're feeling locked out. You know, you two, Lady Shauna and Dr. Kim, you guys are doing your podcast, you've got your organization. A lot of sisters are following in those footsteps too, hanging out their own shingles and developing their own businesses because of the frustration that they have in positions in corporate America. So I'm disappointed. I was hoping by the time your daughters came through, and I know Dr. Kim, I know my girls, you know, that they were just going to rock and roll, and they are, but they're still going to have the obstacles mm-hmm. to face.
Yeah. In the spirit of courageous conversations, what needs to happen for this to change?
Women have to come together. There's not going to be one group. You can have, white women have some advancement. That's not all women. And they don't stay. That's the other thing. You get periods, it's like a pendulum. There are periods of time where everything is just going fantastic for women, particularly white women. And then it swings back the other way and everybody gets knocked off the swing. Until we come together as a chorus of women, we're not going to see the change, number one. Until we are very clear about what we want, we're not going to see the change. We used to believe, and this is way back when I was in graduate school, that if you got a woman in a position of an organization like an Indra Nori or an Ursula Burns, Indra was the CEO of PepsiCo. And I know Indra. You know, once we get a woman in these positions, the company is going to change. It's going to be more family oriented, friendly, you know, it's going to advance more women. And companies have strong, strong cultures. One woman can't change a culture. One man can't change a culture. Sometimes you've got men that are better advocates, quite frankly, than women for women. So the reality of it is that we've got to find ways to really change the culture. That's why this might be an opportune moment, because it is time to change. This is a culture changing moment right now in terms of how we rebuild these companies and how we think about these companies and how we think about equity in these companies, how we think about justice in these companies. This is the time to think about it, because everything has been uprooted. Let me say one other thing. You didn't know I talk so much. Sorry, ladies. I also think about the role models that we have. We wrote this book. We didn't have Oprah, but Oprah wasn't quite where Oprah is right this moment. We didn't have a Michelle Obama. Okay? We've got role models now that were not there in place before. Yes, we had a Shirley Chisholm. Yes, we had a Barbara Jordan. But we have to have those role models so the younger women can see, I can do this. And we didn't have this when we wrote this book. Now women can see, I can do this. If she did it, I can do it.
Yeah, thank you so much. You are definitely a role model for my girls and for me. And I'm just excited that you were able to share with
us. And I just can't shut up, can I?
Well, we have to have you back because there's so much to share. So much to share. We just appreciate it so much. And I want to make sure that people have a way to connect with you if they need to. So if you could just share for us how people, if they want you as a consultant or as a speaker, how would they contact you?
They can go by the Tuck School of Business. My email will be on your link, Dr. Kim, so they can find me there. I'm in LinkedIn, Ella Bell. Not Smith, but Ella Bell. I've got multiple names. Sorry, ladies. And you can also find me on Facebook as Ella LJ. And you can find me, I do have a Twitter account, but I'm not a big twiddler. I got to admit to that. But it's best to find me from the Tuck School of Business, the website, which will be included on your information for your wonderful group that you're starting. And
well,
that you're
thank
developing.
Thank you. Thank you so
and
much.
I would love to connect with anybody who's listening. I do coach. I'm still teaching. I'm an old goat, but I'm still teaching and trying to share some wisdom because that's what it's all about.
Well, thank you for sharing wisdom with us today. I'm going to kick it over to my co-host, Lady Shauna, for some upcoming announcements.
Once again, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Bell. We're so excited to be able to put this podcast out so that other women from around the world and around the country can learn from your wisdom. We are excited to announce our future podcast. We're going to have Pastor Mike McBride to talk to us about how the church can be involved in this upcoming political cycle. It's so important, given everything that's going on, that we are well educated and activated and engaged. And so we're excited about him coming on board. So listen out for that podcast coming up shortly. And we just want to say thank you. We want to thank you for joining us on Courageous Conversations, where we have the courage to converse about topics that engage you, inspire you, and challenge you. And we ask that you all have a wonderful, blessed day.